Welcome to another Carlin Late Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.
So, Sean, what did you do on the weekend?
Well, I had a pretty quiet weekend for a couple of reasons I won't go into. But I was thinking, it's that time of year, isn't it? Like, the summer sports are coming to an end. Like,
finals just around the corner.
Yeah, I know, like, on the weekend, the athletics had their state championships. What about you? What did you get up to on the weekend?
Oh, well, I went to the baseball and the softball. And, yeah, it was... a normal weekend.
So you headed down to West Beach for the softball?
No. Oh, no. It was the junior state champs on, and believe it or not, they were in Mount Barker.
Oh, Mount Barker.
So Sue and I went for a drive up to Mount Barker yesterday so that I could take some photos of the kids.
Wow, so it was a junior softball state championship at Mount Barker. I didn't even know that they would have a place up there to do softball.
Yeah, they do. Now, each year they have the senior state champs, which are at West Beach around Australia Day weekend, somewhere around there. And the junior state champs are usually played at various different locations.
Well, we had the what champs out here a couple of years ago.
Yeah, Gordon. They've had them a couple of times. And anyway, it was down at Mount Barker at a place called Anembo Park. It's very picturesque. There's five diamonds. And it's just an absolute beautiful drive to go.
So is that always set up for softball, baseball? Is it softball and baseball?
No,
or just softball.
Just softball.
And it's always set up permanent.
Well, they've got other sports. I figure they play there. They've got one permanent softball diamond set up, the main one, and then they've got a big field across the back where they set four other diamonds up, which aren't necessarily softball specific. So they may play soccer or other sports. I don't know. And on the other side of the little creek there, they've got it's almost like little go-kart racing. They've got little sort of electronic cars which are about...
Radio-controlled cars.
Yeah. And it's a real, like, you can hear the buzz, and we actually went in there by accident when we got there thinking we could walk across the creek to the softball, but you can't. You have to walk. We actually drove all the way around because... otherwise you had to walk all the way out again, then all the way back in again.
And Mount Barker is a nice spot, isn't it?
Beautiful.
And it's really developing too. There's like a lot of building going on up there.
Yeah, there is. It's retained a lot of the uniqueness of a country town, while it also embraces the new buildings and lots of people are moving into the area, lots of places where... they've developed little suburbs all around there. So it's almost as big as, if not bigger than Gawler.
Yeah, no, even when you drive down the freeway now, you can see that, like, you used to never really see Mount Barker as such, but now when you're driving down the freeway, you can see all of the new housing and new suburbs popping up. And so it certainly is like we're growing out this way and they're growing up that way as well.
Yeah, I suppose eventually they had to expand outwards because there's only so much space within the metropolitan area close to Adelaide.
And you're not that far from Adelaide, really.
No.
Once you're up there, jump on the freeway, off you go.
Yeah, well, we went the back way. We went up through Cockatoo Valley and not Cockatoo Valley, you know, where that nature park is.
Humbug. Did you go up through Carisbrook and then up through Lobethal that way?
Yeah, but we turned right and then turned left and there's an animal park there.
Yep.
And then we sort of like went
Cuddly
up.
Creek.
Cuddly Creek, that's it. Yeah, and then we went up through, you know, some of the other places, but like Oakbank and that, but we didn't sort of like go the usual way. We went the back way. It was quite interesting.
Yes, lovely drive up there. We always head up that way. We're going down to Victor or Strathalbyn through there. Lovely drive.
Yeah, it's, and sort of like you see those farms and the road's very sort of like windy, and then you've got areas where you've got to be careful where the rocks are falling down. But yeah, it was beautiful. The weather was really nice.
Yeah, nice weekend. The weather's been really good lately. Not too hot, but pleasant.
So, you know, we headed to the softball, and the aim was to get there to take photos of all the grand finals, because there were six grand finals, because in the girls, they had the under-18s, the under-16s and the under-14s. In the boys, they had the under-16s and the under-14s, and mixed, they had under-12s.
And when we've talked about softball before, I've always been, well, maybe I was surprised originally, but not anymore. Like I imagine a lot of the girls in under-18s, because when I watch you talk about the A-grade stuff, I see there's a lot of young girls in there playing. So I imagine the under-18 comp had some a lot of A-grade players there.
Yeah, well, senior players, yeah, A and B-grade type players. And the under-18s, Port Adelaide beat Sturt, and I saw three or four of the Portello players who do play the A-grade for the Magpies, and there was a couple of the Sturts. So the main Sturt pitcher, and Sturt are one of the top teams in the A-grade, Millie Fidge, well, her younger sister, Ruby Fidge, pitched for Sturt.
Fabulous.
So, you know, Port won that 6-0. In the under-16 girls, West Islands beat Central Districts 11-0. Hills beat Portello in the under-14s 8-3. In the boys, Central Districts beat the Riverland 7-4. In the under-14s, Hills beat Central's 12-2. And in the under-12 mixed, Central Districts beat Hills 10-8. So Central Districts come up, you know, the name comes up quite a bit. And, of course, Hills
they
as well.
They made a few grand finals, which is wonderful.
Yeah. And
what are the it's not like when we've spoken about A-grade softball, I don't hear the Hills and Central Districts, is that right?
Hills have been in the A-grade comp for a couple of years now, 4 years, 5 years. So they actually progressed and they actually do put in an A-grade team and they actually made the grand final last year.
Wow, okay. So that's me being ignorant.
No, it's understandable because it's like you've got the Central Districts Softball Association and you've got the Gawler and District Softball Association, and usually the very good players go into town and play for the town teams. You know, from Gawler, there's been a number like, you know, Brooke Skews, she went up and then she obviously came back, still play for Giants here in Gawler. Then you've got sort of in the A-grade, there's a number of players that play for West Islands and Seacombe. They come from Gawler and I presume from Central Districts as well. So With the Hills Association, Softball Association being so big, they were able to put their own team in and progress to A-grade, whereas Central Districts and Gawler would not have the depth of talent to actually put a team in.
So who would you say is the number one softball club in SA right now, if you think about the seniors and the junior titles that were on the weekend?
Well, yeah, you know, Port Adelaide are a team that they're under-18s, are very good. So they're sort of somewhere in the mix, and they're under-14s, were in the grand final as well. So you look at them, you look at Sturt. There's a lot of Sturt's players in the A-grade are under 21 years of age. I mean, they've got Bell White and Matty Cameron are the experience that holds that team together. But a lot of the, like Millie Fitch is only about 18 or 19 or something. So they got youth playing at the top level for them at the moment. Port Adelaide have got a lot of youth playing for them in A grade, but they've also got some good juniors. All the clubs seem to have a program where the juniors come through the various grades to feed into the A grade. So I think all the clubs out there, all seven clubs, including Seacombe, which dropped down to the B grade this year, are all capable of continuing feeding into their A grade from the junior systems.
So, would you say softball currently? Do you think is it in a healthy position, healthy state at the moment?
Well,
it seems to be from what you're saying.
Yeah, well, I mean, all the metro softball is played at West Beach. So you go out there on a Sunday afternoon, and there's games all over the place. It's wonderful. It's a great atmosphere. It lends itself to it the way they got the two main diamonds and then they've got all those areas sort of to the northwest of the main diamonds, which is also a baseball diamond there. And they could have up to 20 softball games going on at the same time.
Yeah, that is exciting. And there's something about state champs, isn't there?
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter what sport it is, when you rock up somewhere and there's, like in this case, juniors, there's kids all over the place, you can just sense the excitement. And there's something different about going to a big carnival than there is just rocking up to your normal weekly game.
I think one of the best things about the carnival, even though not all the country teams could come because of COVID and other restrictions, there was no Mount Gambier, sometimes Mildura comes down, there was no teams like from the Port Pirie type region, but they had the Riverland come down and the Hills itself, Gawler and Central's, plus a metro team. So it was probably a little bit depleted compared to other years, but the opportunity for those under-14s, under-16 type players to bond with people from different areas and create friendships that will last a lifetime, it's fantastic.
It's good, and then you catch up with those people over the next couple of years and keep forming those friendships. So is that then the end of the – does that mean the end of the softball season, or is there still a few home and away games left?
Well, I know there's at least one more Wednesday night before the finals and a couple of Saturdays. Usually starts in early March. And then sort of it's all concentrating top four teams. And basically they play the first semi on the – for A grade, they play the first semi on a Saturday, the second semi on a Wednesday, and then the grand final sort of on a Saturday. I think the preliminary final's on a Wednesday as well. It's sort of – I'm not 100% sure sort of exactly how it goes. I know they sent me the program today, but I haven't looked at it. But they get it – the final's over and done with pretty quickly.
And like in some sports – state teams are selected after state championships. Does softball, is that part of the process here, or do they have separate trials for? I know our girls, our SA girls, young, was it the under 19s or 17s, did pretty well a couple of years ago in Perth?
Yeah.
So is this a part of the selection process, or do they do that completely differently?
It would be part of it, but it is separately. They have like SASSY squads type thing where kids are selected and they train. They don't necessarily play in the junior state champs. They may go away to Canberra on camps and things like that. Some of them would play in the state champs, but it's not a prerequisite. The state champs is sort of a little bit different compared to the state teams. And also there's been a little bit of a halt on state teams because of COVID-19. So there was no senior state champs last year or this year. And on the juniors, I believe Gawler was sort of Adelaide's supposed to get the state champs, and I think they're planned a little bit later in the year.
National champs or state?
Yeah, national champs. Yep. Yeah. Wonderful. So if that sort of eventuates, we'll get someone from Softball SA to come out
definitely.
And talk about it.
For sure.
So yeah, softball's really interesting, and the Hills are a very the heartbeat. Actually, going down and watching the Hills play reminded me of the Gawler competition 20 years ago. Gawler's deteriorated quite a bit in numbers and teams. But with a bit of luck, they do T-ball and they're running junior programs. Hopefully they can pick up again, because what they've got down Hills reminded me very much of the old Gawler comp, the way it was run 20-odd years ago.
And I wonder whether, I mean, you look now at all the development our way, like all through Angervale, Roseworthy, Freeling. I mean, you can just see that area, that belt along the expressway is going to get more and more housing. I wonder if, and what the new school, the big state school built, I wonder if that will maybe have the same sort of impact. We might be able to renew the energy in softball in this area.
I think part of the problem is the same people organise stuff forever. So when those people that have life members and put the hard work in for 20 or 30 years, when they start to drop off and retire and do things like that, there's no one really filling the breach. So I think that's a lesson to be learnt for people in all sports, is to sort of like share the workload a little bit so that you can continue sort of having the development and the promotion of your sport.
Yeah, we've spoken about it a few times, haven't we, with volunteers, and it's always a really big job, and it's often left to a small handful of people who are prepared to do that. And often you do see, you're right, you'll see those key people who they probably have been involved in the sport, or their kids were involved and their kids have grown up and moved on, and they're still there working really hard for that particular sport. So very important people, but as you say, they're not around forever.
I think there's so many distractions today as well. I mean, you know, we've had computers, et cetera, to make life easier, but nah, they've made life harder.
Life is about comfort.
Well, so is another Cut Unload Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.